Scripture would be Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear down, and a time to mend. A time to silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace.
Good morning, church. It is good to be back in the assembly. Morning. Nobody told me when I interviewed up here that this was part of Alaska. Y'all managed to avoid mentioning that. So we had to dig out the long handles. Now it's great to be here and it's great to see the faces here and it's great to know that we have others joining us online and that we're back together again to worship and to spend time in God's Word, and as Bob read for us out of Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a season for everything, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit more this morning. It is good to be a part of a congregation that sets aside commercialism and the sense of being a consumer that needs to be satisfied, and instead embraces the idea of being a disciple, somebody who longs to be more like Christ. And so because of that, this is a good place to belong and learn and serve for those who want to be disciples of Christ. And this morning, we're going to take a look back at 2020, and I was kind of anticipating, or maybe just imposing my own thoughts on you as I was writing this message, and thinking that when I think we're going to look back at 2020, that may be a groaner. That's just like, oh, do we really have to? Can we just put that in the history books and walk off and leave it and call bad enough and move on to other things? But the passage in Ecclesiastes talks about a season and a time for everything, and I really believe that's true. I don't think that's an overstatement. I think everything has a season, and everything has a time. And in verse 6, it says there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. So I thought this might be a good time for us to spend a few minutes looking back at 2020 and deciding what part of that do we keep, if any, and what part of 2020 do we throw away. So let's take a minute and review this. My clicker's not working up here, guys. So, in some ways, 2020 was a season for losses. And what I mean by that is, first of all, we started the year 2020 without a pulpit minister. And I suspect that at least to the very first part of the year, the search for a pulpit minister was a preoccupying venture. Not only for the congregation, but for the leadership here. Probably one of the most pressing issues that the congregation faced as 2020 began. But it wasn't long after that before a new virus made its way into the human population and into our consciousness. Suddenly, all public gatherings, whether it's concerts or movie theaters or in-house dining or worship services, are put on hold or suspended indefinitely. So in March 22 of last year, all the events and gatherings at this building were put on hold, were canceled, and almost a year later, here we are, still adjusting to a virus that's changing and to a response to the virus that's changing. One more of those things that was a loss. In September of last year, Keith Riggs stepped down as an elder here at Glenpool. His love and his admiration for the congregation has not waned at all, but for the time being, Keith's time and energy need to be focused somewhere else. So we're grateful for his service, and we are thankful he's a part of, and his family are part of our church family. And in the midst of all these changes, some of our church family went home to the reward. Karen Myrick in January, Mary Watson in February, Ralph Cosby in August, and Nyla Nunley in November. They all went home to their reward in the past year. So this was, in some ways, 2020, a season of losses. But in some ways, 2020 was also a season of gains. Some of our members celebrated significant milestones in 2020. Katana Hickman, Eli Prescott, and Sarah Jones graduated from high school. And Vivian Prescott graduated from OSU-IT with an associate's degree in graphic design. And she's now working as a graphic designer at Hobby Lobby. Four of our couples marked 50 years together of a wedding anniversary. Denny and Kay Robinson, Daryl and Dana Kent, Carl and Bela Burris, and Eddie and Debbie Whitchurch. Barbara Vaughn celebrated her 80th birthday, and Jack Myrick celebrated his 90th. Some of our families were blessed with new additions, and we get to hear some of them this morning, which I love. London was born to Steve and Jennifer Wetzel in Big Sis, Brooklyn on May 22. Jason and Drew Tennyson welcomed Crew to the Tennyson clan on August 3. And Malachi arrived at the home of Nathan and Casey Hartigan October 7. The kingdom was also blessed with some new births. But now wait a minute. We can't. I got to do this right. I let this get away from me. But we got to ooh and aah. Ooh. Ah. Okay. Because after all, we're looking at miracles, right? I mean, anytime God allows us to join Him in the creation process and make others in His image, that's pretty amazing. So now we can move on. All right. Also blessed with some new births in the kingdom of God as well. Daniel Marquez was baptized into Christ this past year, along with John Anzar and Linda Anzar. They put on their Lord in baptism. And we had a new family join us. As someone said, from extended vacation, Jerry and Nola Buller placed their membership here, and we're grateful for that. And then that was July 19th. On May 4th of last year, Jan and I officially became a part of the church family here. So we had some losses, but we also had some gains throughout 2020. And 2020 also presented some very daunting challenges for the congregation as a whole. The Rock OSU-IT ministry, the campus ministry at OSU-IT campus, ceased activities in mid-July. Two folks were working with that especially close. One was Bobby Hill and the other was Michelle Kanan. And both had other obligations that led them to need to spend their time elsewhere. And so they stepped down from their respective roles there at Rock OSU-IT. Now, I think maybe the greatest challenge that we had in 2020 was adjusting to the pandemic. Every aspect of life, every aspect of ministry was touched, impacted, changed by this virus and our response to it. Several of the Glenpool ministries fell victim to the pandemic. And while we're slowly getting a handle on ministry during COVID-19, fatigue and fear still challenge and the plague and challenge us as well. Some daunting challenges. And I think we might be remiss if we go through 2020 without acknowledging that some of these challenges are big. And we may not have yet found the best way to get through some of those. But I'm a big believer that challenges are just opportunities in disguise. And so I want to talk about some of the opportunities that 2020 presented us through sometimes the challenges of 2020 as well. And one of the things that struck me early on about this congregation was the response this congregation had to the COVID itself, the COVID pandemic. When Jan and I moved here about mid-April, before we came here officially, we were touched and blessed by the congregation responses and the Tennysons and the Whittlesey's and Debbie Whitchurch teaching classes and singing songs from their home on Facebook page. The early days of trying to get information out. I will never, as long as I live, forget Debbie Whitchurch in her Lion outfit. When I saw that, I said, yes, we've made a good decision to come be a part of this church family, because that just speaks to me as somebody who's willing to put all, who's all in to be there for her kids. And David and Sandra teaching their classes from their table in the living room. They were some of the first ones that welcomed us into their home when we first came here. And so I got to watch that and could mentally place where they were in their house and what they were doing, which was great lessons that they taught there. The Whittlesies and their beautiful God-given voices and talent using those, and well, they were, what a great, rich blessing they were to us in those early days when we couldn't meet together, but we could hear them singing songs. And it's a blessing today to sit down here and get to hear them as well. And Tom and Sarah and their wonderful, amazing virtual scavenger games, which was just amazing. Tom's hair never looked so good as it did that night for scavenger games. So it was just amazing to me to watch this congregation just kind of all hands on deck. This to me was the epitome of not a consumer congregation, but a disciple congregation that says, we're going to find a way to be the Lord's church in the midst of something that's thrown all of us off our feet. And we don't know what to do, and we're not sure how to respond to it. And so Keith Riggs on Zoom, the Tennysons, the Whittlesies, and the Debbie Whitchurch on Facebook, and virtual scavenger games, which Jen and I lost by that much, and I still think it might have been rigged, but we were close. We were close to winning. We also found some creative ways to spend time together. Before the lockdown, we had a chili cook-off. The young and young families had a Super Bowl party. There was the Valentine bags for the kids, bowling at Sahoma, and the youth area-wide, where our own David Tennyson spoke to the youth there before the lockdown came about. After the lockdown, there was the baby shower for London Wetzel and the birthday celebration for Barbara Vaughn. I think maybe those might have been the first drive-by baby shower and the first drive-by birthday celebration for this congregation, if I'm not mistaken. So that was kind of fun to be a part of both of those. And the men's prayer breakfast at the Tennyson's place. Ways to spend time together. The missions that we support also had their struggles of their own. They struggled to find traction in 2020 just like we did. The Arbuckles, the Prices, the Jovinkos all had to make adjustments. If you watch the video that Jessica posted on the bulletin or in our bulletin a few weeks ago, they talk about the Ukraine Bible Institute and the challenges they faced and doing some of the same things we're doing, the masks and the temperature and social distancing and trying to make it work. They faced the same challenges that we did. Also, I want to mention this, in 2020 we added a new mission work, and that is the Cambodia Christian Ministries. Cambodia Christian Ministries led by Sakom Hun, H-U-N, there in Cambodia, and Mike Meyerhofer here in the States, is working to spread the gospel to an impoverished nation. Cambodia is a nation of poverty, not only in material things, but also in spiritual things. 90% of the nation is Buddhist. The vast majority of the rest are Muslim, and only a small fraction or percentage are Christian, but it is a field ripe for the harvest. It is one of those seasons, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but it is a season where there are people eager to hear the gospel. And I just want to say personally how much I appreciate your response to this ministry that is near and dear to my heart. I've been blessed to work with it for several years. Jen and I both have. We've made several trips to Cambodia. And continue to teach via Skype and now Zoom. And so I really want to tell you how much I appreciate your response to Sakom as he came to visit and the ministry here. And because of your response, at least partly because of your response, we being Cambodia Christian Ministries, is conducting a leader care seminar that starts this week. My section goes Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And there's going to be four of us in going before anywhere. The estimates range more or less than 150 house church leaders from all over Cambodia. And we're going to be spending time with them in Philippians, the letter of Philippians. Pardon me. Which allows us the opportunity to speak about how Christianity is sufficient all its own, that we don't add or take anything away from it. Talk about the hope, the confident expectation we have of home in heaven. Talk about unity. It talks about facing struggles from inside the church, struggles from outside the church. But it also gives us a chance to talk about things like the restoration movement, restoring what's good and right about the first century church, about restoration hermeneutics, a command, example, and inference, about the importance of baptism, about the style of leadership. In fact, if you just look at the opening of Philippians, there's the greeting that Paul gives us a perfect opening to talk about godly, biblical church organization and structure. And this is an opportunity to take folks that already have a church, an assembly meeting at their house, and help guide them closer to the center of God's will. Pardon me. So you imagine if we have 150 house church leaders, that their congregation averages 20, 25. There's a lot of souls in Cambodia that are being touched by that. And because of your generosity, we're able to make that seminar a four-day seminar versus a two-day seminar. And I have the privilege of working with Dr. Herman Alexander, who is one of the, not only a teacher of mine when I was in preaching school, but a great mentor and a spiritual father to me, a spiritual leader to me. So what a great privilege, and I want to say how much I appreciate you embracing this ministry that means so much to me and to Jam. So we added that new ministry. That was a new work that this congregation took on in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic that was supposed to shut the whole world down. There were some existing ministries here that were able to continue during the pandemic. Debbie Whitchurch and her Mark 10 ministry. And boy, if you want to have a discussion about the importance of flexibility, talk with a teacher. You know, talk with a teacher or a parent of a school-age child who is in part of the public schools, or Debbie Whitchurch in her Mark 10 ministry. Debbie has continually worked to keep up with the ever-changing schedule at the school and provide students with much-needed meals through the Mark 10 ministry. Tom continues to work providing events for our youth and activities for our youth. The prison ministry continues to meet. In fact, the prison ministry is one of our ministries that never missed a beat during the entire pandemic. They've never missed a week. And part of that is just the blessing of the nature of prison ministry, which is correspondence back and forth. You can correspond and not have that face-to-face interaction. And because they've never missed a beat, because the volunteers refuse to quit, they still come up to the building every Thursday, they social distance, they keep their space, but they do their work. And they've continued to do that consistently. The prison ministry is sending out and responding to more Bible study correspondence courses than ever before, which is awesome. The meal train ministry is one that I am especially fond of. It fascinates me, and here's why. I say especially fond of. I don't want to play favorites. But what I love about the meal train ministry is that Laura Brown originally agreed to provide meals for family members, church family members who were struggling with COVID. And for me personally, that was a great godsend, because I know when Jan and I were battling with COVID, we'd be laying or sitting somewhere and think to yourself, man, I need to go eat something, I haven't eaten all day, and then I could, but I'd have to move. And so just the idea of preparing or going to get something already prepared was hard. And some of this church family would bring food and leave it on the doorstep. You talk about a gift from God, and it was wonderful for us. And so Laura took up that mantle to be the organizer, to organize meals for those who are suffering with COVID and those who are willing to accept meals, and graciously did so. But not long after that, she also was graciously took on the role of all the meal train as a whole, not just for COVID, but for people who are struggling with other illnesses, people who are in the hospital, people who are recovering from surgery, people who are sick, people who are having babies, you name it. He took on the entire meal train ministry. And one of the things I love about this ministry, why I say it's special, one of the things that strikes me is it is one that has adapted to the pandemic, in that Laura accepted the role over the phone. Laura was coached on how to fulfill the role over the phone. She contacts by phone people who are willing to put meals together. And those people put meals together and deliver them. And that delivery can be have as much contact or no contact. You can do everything from leave it on the porch to bring it inside and give a hug and go. I mean, it is one of those things that it has adapted to the pandemic beautifully, so that there's as much or little personal interaction as the people involved are willing to engage in. And so, to me, that's a wonderful way to meet a real need in our church family, a real need that is legitimate, and do it in a way that is completely flexible with the pandemic and people's comfort levels. Now, I'll say this. That's not what I meant to say. I'll say this. Every time I talk to Laura about what a great job she's doing with the meal train, she always redirects me to the volunteers, the people who are putting the meals together and delivering the meals. And so I would be remiss with Laura if, in mentioning this, I didn't say how grateful she is to all of you who volunteer to put the meals together and volunteer to deliver those meals. Laura is always quick to remind me that you are the heroes of that ministry, and we're grateful for you and the work that you do. So those are existing ministries that we were able to keep going during the pandemic. But we've also added some new ministries in the midst of a pandemic, and this, I think, is worth looking at and speaking on. Zach Tennyson and several other volunteers in this congregation have come together for the Trail Life USA, you see on the top left there, had their first meeting at this church building June 1st. Had an open house before that, and then the pandemic kind of kicked it off a little bit. But if you're not familiar with Trail Life is a Christ-centered youth organization aimed at giving boys the opportunity to develop character, leadership, service, and stewardship. And what's interesting, in addition to their regular meetings here, they've gone off campus to camp out at the Tennyson's place, to hike at Keystone Ancient Forest, and a fishing trip. And one of the things I love about this is, first of all, it's our family, members of our family, volunteering to do something for not just our kids, but for kids in the whole community. And this facility serves as the home base for that wonderful ministry that was started in the middle of a pandemic. In the bottom center, there were several who baked cookies and brownies. And several of our kids made homemade cards, greeting cards, and cards of encouragement. And those were distributed to the police and fire departments in Jinx, I think, and here in Glenpool as well, and the staff at St. John's Hospital. And then pizza and cookies were delivered to the staff at the Glenwood Nursing Home. I apologize. I got a tickle. I just can't get rid of it. But this was a group effort among people using their gifts and talents, whether it's cooking or baking or making cards or delivering those cards. And you see the Jinx Fire Department there and some of the crew that took and delivered those cakes and cookies. And by the way, they were very grateful. I don't know if you can read and the center right, the far right, the little post there. But it was a thank you from someone who received those cards and said that's kind of what keeps them going in the midst of this pandemic, or thoughtful things like that. There are some in this congregation who have in the past and some who continue to participate in our phone call and card ministry, especially for those who are shut-ins, those who can't get out, either because of mobility issues or health issues. And so there's a contingency in our congregation. And these are the silent servants you don't hear about. These are the silent servants that are working for God that don't get to get up here and you have to stare at their face. They're serving God quietly behind the scenes and are worth saying thank you to them. And since our Bible schedule is limited at the time, Karen Brown's putting together some take-home study packets. If you've noticed, these show up in the foyer. These are just take-home study packets for kids. And what a great idea that is, because we don't have a Wednesday night for them, and we don't have a lot of things on Sunday. And it's easy for them to kind of fall through the cracks. And I wish I was a better Sunday morning, Wednesday night teacher to the youngsters in a class where we have all age groups. But this is a packet that moms and dads can take home and either do Wednesday night together as a family or anytime during the week together as a family. And this is just another way that this congregation is discipling in the midst of a pandemic that wants to put us out of the game, that wants to close us out altogether. So what a great opportunity that is. We've opened our building to the Compass Homeschool Initiative, who use our classrooms and some of our classroom space to teach students from pre-K to 10th grade. We have a beautiful facility here. We have a wonderful building, and we are beholden to those who came before us, who saw the need, and were willing to take the initiative to step out and build not only the first phase, this phase as well. Third, I don't know if this third or fourth phase, this auditorium and this section here with the offices. But we're grateful for them and for the work that they've done and for the commitment they've made and the commitment this congregation made to purchase that and to spend that, invest that money. But it's a building that needs to be used more than Sunday and Wednesday. And so love to see Trail Life here on Monday night. Love to see Prison Ministry here on Thursday. Love to see the homeschoolers, the Compass, here on Thursday as well. Love to see, to drive by when I drive by here and go, I don't know those cars. Who's there and what are they up to? And they're doing something here at the church building, using this blessing that God's given us to serve the community. And finally, we have Care Portal. If you see on the bottom left of the screen, the Care Portal logo. And what I love about Care Portal is it is a union between a state-funded agency, Oklahoma Department of Human Services, and churches, where DHS actively seeks out a relationship with churches. In a world where you can't talk about church and state in the same breath, it's wonderful to see a state organization reach out, not only to the churches, but they want the churches to establish a relationship with their clients, a relationship that they hope turns into a faith relationship. And so through Care Portal, we've been blessed to serve three different families. And through your generosity, we've been able to touch three different families who are either trying to stay together or trying to be reunited. And we are working to help with them. In fact, you may have seen before the great iceberg came through here. Some collections in the foyer, some clothes and some diapers and such. Those were delivered this past week to our Care Portal people who has two children, and she's trying to keep her family together. And because of your help here, they are working towards that goal. And I'll just share with you, the family was extremely, extremely grateful. This young mom is staying with a mother-in-law and working very hard to keep her family together. And because of the help that you've given, you helped her do that. So we're grateful for that. So, here we are, 2020. Look back. What do we keep and what do we throw away? First of all, let me say this. Anytime I do a message like this, there's a disclaimer. If I forgot you, I apologize. I did not ignore you on purpose. I didn't shun you, I promise. If you'll come and let me know of my error, of my oversight, I'll be glad to make a correction. Always, anytime I do a message like this, the next week's always the catch up for the ones I missed. So if I missed you, I apologize. Let me know. But I wanted to give us a view and help us grasp, just reaffirm that we're not sitting waiting for the pandemic to go away. We're not sitting by. Waiting for life to get easy before we minister again, that we as a congregation are finding ways to minister. So Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, and a time to keep, and a time to throw away. So what do we keep? What do we keep from 2020? I have just a couple of thoughts here on this. First of all, I think we keep our sense of purpose. The Great Commission and our call to be a light to a dark and dying world has not been put on hold because of the pandemic. In fact, I would argue that call on our lives is even greater now in the midst of a pandemic when people are looking at their mortality square in the face than it was before. And so I think we need to keep our sense of purpose. I think we need to keep our sense of unity. Someone told me a long time ago about raising kids, that kids need love the most when they're least lovable. And that was about the time that my kids were teenagers. And so I did my best to absorb that and put that to use. But I do find that I know that I was very hard to love as a teenager. I may be slightly easier to love now. But as a teenager, I guarantee you I was hard to love. And I think that's true not only of raising kids. I think that's true of almost any relationship. When we're hardest to love, that's when we need love the most. And you may be one of those people like me where you look at people and their response to the pandemic, their personal response, their professional response, their interaction with me, and there's some people I look at and I just think, I cannot fathom why you're doing what you're doing or why you're not doing what you're not doing. And I just want to suggest to you this. We're all navigating the pandemic as the best we know how, and we're all doing it for the first time. And if someone is handling the pandemic in a way that seems unthinkable to you, then it's probably a safe bet that you're handling the pandemic in a way that seems unthinkable to them. And so I would encourage you that when it's the hardest to love people, that's when we need love the most. If success means that we all have to think alike and respond alike and act alike, then we've failed. But if success means that we love each other, even when we're hard to love, then by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can succeed. We need to keep our sense of unity. And third, we need to keep our sense of adventure. I think the pandemic's taught us a couple of things. It's taught us, first of all, we're not in charge. If we ever thought we were in control, the pandemic has taught us that we're not. And secondly, the pandemic has taught us to be flexible. Some of the way we used to do things in the past may not work now. And if you wonder what I'm talking about, you don't have to look any further than our communion observance and see the little individual cups. Who'd have ever dreamed that we'd be grabbing cups on the way in rather than passing trays? That's just the tip of the iceberg. But there's some things that the pandemic has taught us that we need to be flexible and we need to be able to adjust. Another thing I think in terms of sense of adventure, our broadcast assemblies need to be the best we can give. We're grateful for the upgrade in the camera, upgrade in technology. But we need to give the very best we can, not only for our in-person attendance, but for our online attendance as well, because they matter. Our people who are joining us this morning online are valuable, and they are a church family, and we care about them very much. For one reason, it's the only worship experience some of our family members get. And for another, it's a good way to attract new people. I'll say this, the vast majority of the people, the visitors who walk through this door, have already visited this congregation electronically. Precious few people walk through this door if they haven't already been to the website or the worship broadcast. So it matters, not only for our folks who are at home and can't join us right now, but for those who are seekers as well. Another thing I think we need to keep in terms of adventure is the focus away from the building. I love the building. I'm grateful for the building. And there's always be a place for the building to come together to worship and fellowship as a whole body of believers. But the best way to reach the unchurched, the lost, and the people that we need to reach is be out there with them and among them. And I love seeing the ministries that we've developed and the ministries that are flourishing and those that get outside the building and care for people who are in great need. And God's teaching us anything. God's teaching us things. Adventure that we haven't learned before, like Zoom and our broadcasts and some of the things that we're doing. And I think God's teaching us those for a reason. For better or worse, it seems as though electronic media is a part of the church's future. And so I think these are some of the things that we keep, our sense of purpose, our sense of unity, and our sense of adventure. What do we throw away? Two things. In my thought, we throw away whatever's left of our consumer mentality. Whatever is left in us that says, I like things the way I like them and I want things the way I want them. Whatever is left in us that says that, we need to set it aside. Our personal likes, our personal dislikes. We need to set aside our personal differences with one another and fight together the good fight. So I think we throw away whatever is left of our consumer mentality. And we throw away our unhealthy fears. And what I mean by that is any fear that doesn't draw us closer to God and doesn't lead us to love others more is an unhealthy fear. I think we throw away those unhealthy fears. I realize this hasn't been a message steeped in Scripture and doesn't find its roots in the first century church, but it does find its roots in Ecclesiastes, in a time and a season for everything, a time to keep and a time to throw away. And I hope this brief view at our year past helps us remember that we have not been sitting around waiting for the pandemic to pass. We haven't been passive passengers, but we've been active soldiers in the fight that God has assigned to us. And I pray that we continue to do that. I'm grateful for each one of you and grateful for this leadership as this congregation. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. If there's anything that's on your heart that we can help with, please let us know. If you're here in person, come forward. Share with us how we might be able to serve you. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, if you're ready to recommit your life to Christ, if you want to spend time with somebody in God's Word to see what God's Word has to say about your walk with Him, we would love very much to serve you in any way possible. If you're at home, call, text, reach out to us, let us know. But if there's some way this body of believers can serve you, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.